backpack ministry was have an abundance of things to spread out to the school. We thank you for that. And we'll ask, continue to ask God's blessings on our schools and the staff and all those involved in their education. It's Tuesday, September the 6th at 6:30 at Old Little Feet Jackson Heights Live Ministry. And on the 8 to 10 a.m. Bible study. Coming up event, Saturday the 17th, Eastern District Women's Auxiliary Convention at Coal Creek Church. And on Monday the 19th at 7 p.m., ladies, for Women's Auxiliary. 2 weeks, Tuesday at 7 o'clock, on the 13th, the deacons will meet. September the 13th. Does anyone have any announcements or anything this morning? Maybe before. If not, stand, take your bulletin. Let's read together responsibly the reading. Yours, O Lord, is the greatest and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours.
We thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name.
Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all.
We thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name.
In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all.
Amen. Now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name.
Father, we indeed praise and lift your name and just make a big deal out of who you are. You are a God who created us. You have our best interest at heart, and you wish great things for us. And we honor that, and we come to honor you and to show our appreciation and our love for you as we worship this morning in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn to Hymn 225. Same verses 1 through 3, 225, 1 through 3.
Thank you. Testament reading is Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6, and 1 through 6, and then 13 through 18. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before words on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. For you formed me my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. The New Testament is Luke 14, 25 through 33. Now a great crowd accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and comes after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. For what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not first sit down and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. The word of God for the people.
Thanks be to God.
Continue to worship and to pray this Lord, Lord, for your needs, you might hold up if we need to win together.
Pray for our country. The Sandy Dawson family. Jason Barton.
Okay. Any other? Remember these needs and take action together as we pray this Lord.
Thank you.
praise and I worship you this morning. I thank you for your greatness and your power and your glory, victory, your majesty, and just who you are. I know you hear our prayers as we pray for each other this morning. Remember these names that have been called. We think about our country and the leadership. As we pray for the church, we need strong churches moving forward in victory for you, Lord. We just pray for our churches and all the people that make them up. It's good to be able to come in the quietness this hour and just put aside our busy schedules and just focus on you, all you mean to us, all that you do for us, and all you will do for us forevermore. We thank you, Lord. Especially for our salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name, in Jesus' name. Turn to 295, stand as we sing the verses 1 and 2, 295.
Thank you.
text this morning comes from Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18. A Pew Bible, the ESN version, reads it, "Where there's no prophecy, the people cast off restraint." The King James reads it, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." We've been in a series entitled Vision, How to Take Hold of Your Horizon. Today our thought is putting your vision to work. This will wrap up our series on vision. Remember week one we talked about increasing your vision. Dare to think big. Dream big. Hope big. Believe big. And the key words there for increasing your vision are focus, direction, and expansion. Next week we talked about casting your vision. We talked about the fact that one is too small a number for greatness. It takes a team. Jesus sent his disciples out into the world to make more disciples, to make the team bigger, so to speak. And we need to build a team the size of our dream. We must dream big, and we must have a big team, which means we must reach a lot of people. We give people an example to follow and teach them and train them to be disciples, to achieve their God-given potential in a partnership together in the work of God's ministry. Casting vision. Today we want to talk about how to put your vision to work for you. In other words, how to implement your vision. Futurist pioneer Joel Barker once said, "Vision without action is merely a dream. Action without vision just passes the time. However, vision with action changes the world." You see, it's not nearly enough to have a good idea. At some point, we have to put good ideas into action. A goal or a dream that exists only on a piece of paper or only in your imagination is really nothing more than a whim. It becomes a life vision when you decide that you will invest time, energy, effort, and money to make it happen, to make it real. In order to have a happy marriage and a happy family life, in order to have financial security or to be successful in your job or to make your community a better place to live or to be a thriving church, you have to put to work your God-given vision, and you must be fully invested in it. God created us and made us. He called the church into existence. He knows exactly what we need, and he's willing to give us direction. We'll take it and go with it. If you want to leave this world better than you found it, it requires commitment, determination, perseverance and sacrifice, and obedience to biblical principles. It involves a series of steps that must be taken, and there are no shortcuts. Only God's way is the right way. And a vision without action isn't a vision at all. It's really nothing more than a whim. In order for vision to be realized, we must be willing to take the necessary steps to make it happen. And of course, everyone understands that. The question is, how do you do it? How do you get from the place where you're dreaming about victory to the place to where you're celebrating a victory? That's what we'll talk about. All right, three things. First of all, the first thing that can help us make a vision a reality is to surround yourself with the idea. Surround yourself with the idea. Saturate yourself with it. Let it be the first thing you think about in the morning and the last thing you think about at night. This is what I'm going to accomplish with my life. This is what God has called me to do. We've all heard that great Bible verse, without a vision, people perish. The word vision can also be translated revelation. The New Living Translation uses the phrase divine guidance. And oh, we can sure use a measure of that, couldn't we? Couldn't we? Amen. That's because as a believer, your life vision is a revelation from God. God does exist. God is real. God is alive. God speaks to us today. We can know His will. And He has something that He wants to do through us. In other words, when we talk about having a vision for your life, we're really talking about connecting with God's plan. You see, God is bringing His plan to pass whether we're part of it or not. He wants us to be part of it. He's inviting us to be part of it. He has given us everything that we need, every gift, everything that we need to be a part of it and to be successful in His kingdom. And that's what we're talking about, connecting to God's plan for your life. See, this isn't just about having a meeting and deciding what we want to do. It's about what God wants to do. And as a church, every decision that we make, everything that we do, that's the number one question we should ask ourselves. Is this something that we want to do? Or is this something that God wants us to do? If we can't say for sure that God wants us to do it, we need to be careful. We need to be careful because it may not be the right thing for us. Listen, many people and a lot of churches are living on someone else's dream of the past. Many people in churches are still doing the same old things they did 50 years ago, and they're hoping things are going to change. And they talk about how bad it is. Our nation's not a Christian nation anymore. We don't have Christian leaders. They don't teach the Bible in school. They took prayer out in the school. Listen, church, that's our job. We're the church. We're supposed to be teaching the Bible, reading the Bible, spreading the good news, praying for people, teaching people how to pray. We're not supposed to be dependent on the government to do it for us or some political leader. That's our job. And that's what God has called us to do. Things are not going to get better until we start doing the things God has called us to do. Our communities are not going to get better. Our churches are not going to get better until we start serving God and moving in the direction that He leads. The Bible says of King David in Acts 13:36 that David served God's purpose in his own generation. I want you to know that God has a purpose for you in your generation. You don't have to try to live off somebody else's purpose. You don't have to live off some other church's dream. God has a special dream and a special purpose for His people, our people, for us here in our generation. Listen, God has a plan for you, a vision for your life. And when people don't take the opportunity to connect with this vision, the Bible says, they perish. Without a vision, the people perish. The people perish. Seems like what we're reading in the headlines today, don't it? The NIV translates it this way, people cast off restraint. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says, without revelation, the people run wild. Huh? Have you heard any stories this week of people running wild and people casting off restraint? It seems like that's all that's in the headlines, isn't it? There's no vision. People perish. It's been true in my own life. When I've lost sight of God's plan for my life, I sometimes feel like I'm running wild. I'm going in this direction, in that direction, and over here one day and over there the next day, and I have no idea where I'm supposed to be or what I'm supposed to do. All I know is I'm tired. I'm busy, but I'm tired. When I zeroed in on God's vision for my life, I found that I spent a lot less time running in circles and a lot more time going forward. You know what else I've discovered? I lose contact with God's plan and purpose for me. I tend to cast off restraint. I get a little too chummy with sin. When I grab hold of God's vision for my life, many of these temptations that used to knock me down day after day suddenly lost all power. Now, I bet it's the same for you. Anybody ever feel like you're fighting a losing battle with a besetting sin and you want to know something that can help you big time? Fully embrace God's vision for your life. Get a clear and uncluttered image of who you can be and what God wants you to be through His power at work in and through you. Let that saturate your heart. Let that saturate your soul. Let that saturate your mind. Let it saturate your entire being, the time you get up to the time you lay down. When God's purpose becomes more real to you than your next breath, petty temptations will lose their power. That's because without revelation, people lose restraint. But with revelation, people use restraint. Without divine guidance, the people run wild. With divine guidance, people run to win. Amen? Without a vision, people perish. With a vision, people find life, a rich and satisfying life. As Jesus told us in John 10:10, a life of abundance. Church, surround yourself at every opportunity with the idea of what God will accomplish in and through your life. That's how we need to be by God-given vision. We need to surround ourselves with thoughts of it. We need to saturate ourselves. And people have vision, revelation, divine guidance. They have restraint. They have direction. They're on the move. They're moving forward. Here's what I'm saying. The more you immerse yourself in God's purpose for your life, the more clearly you will be able to discern the next step. And just as significantly, you'll be able to discern which steps not to take. If I'm driving from Deep Run to Miami, Florida, there's several different routes that I can take through various interstates and state highways. I can map out my course as I go, but one thing I know, if I really want to get to Miami from Deep Run, I can never drive north. If I drive north, I will never get to Miami. As long as I know that Miami is where I want to be, I can figure out my path along the way. But when I lose sight of my destination, when I no longer know my direction, I lose sight of path. The same is true for the church. People, we're the church. Church, immerse yourself in your vision. Surround yourself with thoughts of it. Saturate your life with it. It will help you chart a course that will bring honor and glory to God and power to His church here on earth today. The second thing about vision, making it a reality, is number two, take early action every day. And these are practical things. Early action every day. There are dreamers and there are producers. The dreamers intend to write a book. The producers are the authors. Dreamers plan to take action. Authors take action every day. If God has given you vision for what He can accomplish with your life, you can be sure of one thing. It is a vision that is worth pursuing every single day. Every day you need to take steps that will move you forward in this journey, even if it's only a small amount. This is a commitment the church must make. Doug decided he would run 1,000 miles. That's a pretty good goal, isn't it? 1,000. That figures out in his time frame to be about 3 miles a day, and that would give him some flexibility. You know, some days he may not feel good or whatever, the weather might be bad. But he figured it in. He didn't have to run that full 3 miles a day, but he made a commitment from the start. Every day, no matter what, he was going to at least run 1 mile. At least 1 mile. Goal was 3. He said, even when I'm tired, when I'm lazy, or when I've got a cold, I'm going to do at least a mile. I'm going to make daily progress to that 1,000-mile goal. And he reached his 1,000-mile goal and then some, because he was committed to taking action every day until his goal was completed. We must do the same. We must take action every day. And let me suggest, take action as soon as possible. Like as your feet hit the floor, you know? We've got these habits, right? A few of them we've got to get out of the way. But then we need to go ahead and begin to think about, immerse ourselves, and get ready to begin to take action as early as possible. We're going to be faithful in our personal life, our spiritual life, in the purpose as God has called us to do. We must take action early. There are things we must be committed to, attending to every single day. Here's what I've learned. The earlier I get to them, the further I move forward. It's as simple as that. Start early. You know, if I put it off, I'll get it later. Before long, it's bedtime, and guess what? You need to get it done, right? Because of this, I'm protective of the first hours of each day. I don't like to be bothered early in the morning. You know, I never let a thief come into my house and steal my wife or my belongings. And I don't let a thief come into my day and steal my time. That's exactly what the TV and the newspaper and the internet want to do. They want to distract you so you won't read God's word, so you won't pray. They want you thinking about a lot of things that's got nothing to do with the vision that God has for your life. They want you worried about that and upset about that. They want you texting on Facebook, calling people, and talking about that mess that has nothing to do with what God calls to do. And get you all stirred up, your blood pressure worked up. That's the devil. That's not what God has called us to be and he calls to do. There are things that he expects us to be committed to, attending to every single day. All right, let's see where we're at. Here's what I'm saying. Decide which daily steps you need to take in order to get from where you are to where you need to be. Determine to take those steps as early as possible. Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I like the word that Jesus used here, daily. He didn't say weekly or W-E-A-K, weekly. He said daily. Means every single day we have to say, I'm not going to take the easy way out. I'm not going to be a spectator. I'm going to be a participator. I'm not going to seek the easy life. I'm not going to look out for just only myself. But I've got this vision. I've got this purpose. And this is what my life is about. And this day and every day, I will seek to fulfill God's purpose in my generation. I want to be like David. I want to be used of God to bless people and bless my community and to bless God's church. See your vision come to realization. Take early action every day until the job is done. Got to keep going for a while. All right, the third thing is, and this is just practical things. Settle in for the long haul. Are you in it for the long haul? The Christian life, in fact, all of life is a marathon. It's not a 50-yard dash. A lot of people treat it that way. You'll see them one day, but then they go. It's like they think they finished, but they haven't. Our problem is often we want to get where we're going sooner than we deserve to be there. I reckon that's why they put up speed limits. We want success. We want it now. We don't have to work for it. We want happiness. We want it now. We want fulfillment. We want it now. And when we don't get it now, we're tempted to throw in the towel and look for something else. Near the end of Paul's life, he wrote some of the most compelling words in the New Testament. He said, "The time has come for my departure. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." 2 Timothy 4:7-8. This should be the goal for each of us. We should be able to say, just like the Apostle Paul, "I'm in this thing to the finish." And at the finish, I won't be able to say like Paul, "I finished the task. I saw it through. I did it daily. I gave it my best. And I didn't quit." William Blake said, "Mistakes are many." Anybody ever made a mistake? "Mistakes are many. Mistakes are inevitable." But there is no mistake as great as the mistake of not going on. Shouldn't let our mistakes define us. I've made more mistakes than I can count. Mistakes are related to strategy, mistakes related to money, mistakes related to mistakes. There have been times when I made mistakes, I didn't even know I was making them. But I made them. And when I did discover I made mistakes, even though I didn't know I made them, I didn't quit, I stayed in the game. The only one who can finish the race are the ones who refuse to quit the race. Babe Ruth said it this way: "You can't beat the person who never gives up. It's not possible." So in conclusion, you don't stop dreaming, start celebrating. The writer of Hebrews said, Hebrews 12:1, "Let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." There's a vision marked out for us. There is a race marked out for us. And the only way to ensure your vision becomes a reality is through dogged endurance and through unyielding perseverance. That means you must take steps today towards that goal, even if they're small. It means you must resolve to take steps toward that goal every day. Nothing else is more important as long as you have life within you. And the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." Church, surround yourself with the vision God's purpose. Let it saturate your life. Listen, you're not just fixing your eyes on some goal. You're fixing your eyes on the one who is the goal, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who's called us me and you, his church, to greatness. He's the one who will get us to the finish line. As we conclude today this series on vision, it is my prayer that God will capture your heart and your mind and your soul and your entire being with a dream and a vision of who you can be and where you can go and what you can do to bring glory and honor to God who created us all. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father God, increase our vision. Increase our vision so that we will aspire to do the great things that you call us to do. Help us to share that vision so that we can take others with us on a journey into a great life of living for you. And God, help us live our vision every single day, day in and day out, until we cross the finish line, until the race is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn to 196 and stand as we sing 196, verses 1, 3, and 4. Together in unity, our Father, which art in heaven.